So it's Easter, Resurrection Day, and I want to spend the bulk of our time talking about hope and the hope that we as believers have. And so this isn't just like a concept that I've invented or something. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. A few verses here. I'm going to look at something over in John's Gospel for a couple minutes along the way, but just really want to talk about this idea of hope. And it's an interesting thing because as you think about hope, it's such, in so many ways, it's such a delicate thing. It's delicate in that it's easy to lose it. It's easy to lose sight of the value that actual hope carries. Like there's some power to hope, but it's delicate because it's also based on what we imagine is the basis for our hope. In other words, and if you've been at our church for any amount of time, if you ever heard me talk about hope, you've probably heard me use this as my like go-to illustration. It's like at Christmas time, like, wait, it's Easter. What are we doing? Imagine Christmas time. Imagine pulling up to a big department store or a mall or something and hoping that you're going to find a parking spot. You know there's probably not one up front, but you still kind of tool around the front a little bit. You're still going through the first couple of aisles in the parking lot, hoping that you'll find something. But there's no basis for that. It's just you're assuming that maybe it'll happen. But we're talking about the Bible's hope. Our hope is based on the promises of God's Word. And God, as the one who's inspired the Bible, he who cannot lie, has made certain promises to us. And so this would be the basis of the Christian's hope. A friend of mine would say it this way. It's not a hope-so hope. It's a no-so hope. It's not just hoping at Christmas time to find a parking spot. There are promises that we have because of what Jesus has done, both at the cross and in conquering death through the empty tomb, his resurrection. So again, our text today is going to be from the first chapter of the Apostle Peter's first letter, and we'll pick it up starting in verse 3, where he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now I'm going to spend a few minutes charting kind of this verse and the subsequent verses, kind of charting it out. And if you're thinking, man, we're on school break, kind of whatever's happening with quarantine, I don't really want to like diagram sentences. So we're not going to quite diagram sentences here. But if we kind of break it down and look at what's actually said, not just what we assume is said, it helps. So notice that the first key word here, by the way, it's not hope. And the first key word for what we're discussing right now is also not living. And surprisingly, it's not even the greatest part of the verse, these words, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We'll get to that. But the key to this is one word that's found basically right around the middle of verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1. It's this little word, us. Us, as in believers in Jesus Christ. Those who have placed their faith in him for salvation. Not those who have attempted any series of supposed good works to earn God's favor or to somehow have the promise of heaven extended to them if their lives are lived to a certain standard. You know, if I really try hard, and this is kind of the thought that so many people have, if my good deeds what? Outweigh my bad deeds, then I'll have heaven. But that's not what's being discussed in the Bible's view of salvation, i.e. the truth of salvation. So the us here is connected to the living hope because it's only available for the person who is saved, forgiven of their sins. This says begotten again, but this idea of begotten us again is, of course, being born again by the Holy Spirit of God, declared by God to be a child of God. And as we'll see in a few minutes, we have heaven reserved for us. So the us here, kind of the key to this text, it's for the Christian. Now, notice what Peter tells us as Christians about this. This is according to God's abundant mercy. And put simply, this is because of Jesus' finished work at the cross of Calvary. And it's because of his finished work we do not receive what we should receive. And we should, because of our sin, we should receive the wrath of God. We deserve death. But because Jesus received God's wrath on the cross on our behalf, we then receive mercy. So again, mercy is simply this. It's not receiving what we should receive. God's mercy, notice what it says about it, it is abundant. And it is according to this abundant mercy that he has begotten us again, made us born again to something. And what is that? Well, it's hope. But not just any hope. I mean, if you have a Bible in front of you, look at it. Our hope is a living hope. And this living hope is, notice again the text, it's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And in many ways, if I can just come out and say it, it's not only or not simply the resurrection which is celebrated today. Much of what we celebrate is what was accomplished through the resurrection because of the resurrection. So it's not simply that we celebrate the resurrection. It's we celebrate what we receive because of it. Think about what the Apostle Paul wrote to his friends, or the, not necessarily friends, but believers in Rome. This is from the book of Romans, the New Testament book of Romans, the fifth chapter. It says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And not only that, Paul would say there again in Romans chapter 5, "But we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Salvation has been made available free of charge to us since Jesus already paid the price. And for those of us who have received this free gift of salvation, we now get to have hope. Not just hope, a living hope. And this is once again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's always disappointing when you, and I guess this is kind of par for the course these days, we're all ordering stuff online, at the church where there's still things to do, still things happening. We're doing some renovations, some projects here around the building, so we're ordering certain things, but this is kind of what everyone was already doing like pre-pandemic. But now, man, all you UPS and FedEx and United States Postal Service workers, thanks for the hard work. But it's always disappointing when you order something online and when it arrives and you open the box, it doesn't come with everything that you thought would come with it. Like you're looking at the picture online, but I thought this came in the box with the... But you assumed everything in the picture would be included, but you didn't bother to read the fine print, the what's in the box section. Like that's really important, especially with, as we've developed the live streaming, we're back to this again. Like there's certain components that we had to purchase, but does it come with that one cable? What's in the box is actually a really important part. And if you don't read the fine print, man, it's disappointing when the thing you expect to arrive does not arrive in the box. On the other hand, it's always amazing when you open the box and you're like, oh, cool, that's in the box too. I didn't know I was going to get that as well. We actually had this about a year ago for the church drum set. Like, we need one extra drum for this thing. So placed an order online. And also placed in this, you don't care about drums, but I do. So order the drum online, but you need the mounting hardware to attach the drum to the rest of the drum set. So, okay, order the drum, order the mounting hardware. The drum arrives, the mounting hardware arrives. When you open the box, sure enough, it came with the mounting hardware. I didn't need the other one that I purchased. It came with it. Like, what does this have anything to do with Easter? Oh, nothing. And everything, it's a matter of our salvation isn't just that we're forgiven of our sins, but what else is in the box? What else comes with the resurrection of the dead? What else comes with the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? What else is with it? This is the everything of our salvation. When we're forgiven, that weight of guilt that had always been upon us is removed. I mean, we sang it just a few moments ago. We have been set free as part of our salvation. But again, salvation is more than simply or more than just mercy. It's also about what we receive. Mercy is something that we don't receive, right? We don't receive God's wrath, but salvation includes what we actually do receive. We receive all of these things, all these blessings and glory because of God's grace, and that word simply means free gift. We receive reconciliation, as Paul said there in Romans chapter 5. Reconciliation with God so that we can have a right relationship with Him. Not only that, but we also receive Jesus' righteousness attributed or accredited to our, if you will, our spiritual bank account. Again, as we'll see just a few minutes here in the book of 1 Peter, we also receive the promise of heaven. We also receive peace that protects our hearts and minds. We find joy granted to us, not just, you know, periods or moments of happiness in our lives. That's nice to have happiness, but it's not always happy. You guys have heard me say this 100 times. It's not always flowers and lollipops. But we can actually have joy that carries us through the journey of life. We can know and experience true love that we've never known before. Before we meet Jesus, we've always longed for some kind of true, real love. But when we meet Him, this is part of our salvation, we know it, we experience it. And whether you read the fine print or not, again, one of the other items included in the box that we call salvation is hope. So again, here in our text in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter explains to us a little bit about what else accompanies this living hope because of Jesus' victory over death and the grave. Notice verse 4 of 1 Peter chapter 1. This is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to us it's an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. There's a lot to that. But what he's doing is describing what he says there at the beginning. This is to an inheritance. And then he uses all these other words to describe this inheritance that's, again, to who? To us, verse 3, who have received Jesus for salvation. We've received this inheritance. And it's ours because as Christians, God has made us part of His family. And man, this inheritance is rich. For you today as a believer, I would strongly encourage you to read a bit more about this from the New Testament book of Ephesians. The inheritance we have in Christ, it's remarkable. So again, this inheritance is described for us here in verse 4. It's incorruptible, or perhaps your translation says imperishable. It is undefiled. It does not fade away. Ooh, I like that there in verse 4. Our inheritance does not fade away. Doesn't grow old over time or become like a forgotten wish or a dream from your childhood. Oh, I used to wish for this, but that kind of just faded away over time. Oh, that just kind of went away. It faded through the years. Maybe it was some kind of ambition in life that never came to fruition as the timeline of your life grew longer and stretched further along. Ah, that idea faded away off in the distance. No, our inheritance is based on Jesus' resurrection, and therefore our inheritance does not fade away. This is amazing because the Greek word that's used here for does not fade, or perhaps your translation says unfading, it's connected to actually a flower. Oh, so it is all flowers in the life bulbs. No, not quite, but kind of. It's actually a perennial flower called the amaranth. And the amaranth flower, there's like 75 different species of this flower, and at least one of them is bright red in color. It's interesting because when this flower dies, it maintains that bright red color. And as a perennial type of a flower, it's always there flowering year after year, and that particular red variety of flower does not fade away. It's an amaranth, and that's what our inheritance is. It's something that does not fade. Our inheritance is beyond perennial. It's permanent. And not only that, but notice the last part there, verse 4, it's reserved in heaven for you. Again, the you of this is the believer in Christ Jesus. It's the Christian. It's the follower of Jesus. It's the one that, again, has placed their faith in Him, in Jesus, for salvation. That's looked to the finished work on the cross and the empty tomb and said, because of the reality of that, I know I am saved. And this is the one who is, by faith been grafted into the very family of God. So for the believer, our inheritance is reserved. Notice it specifically, it's reserved in heaven. Whew. Beyond the mere temporal part of our existence, this temporal realm, it's reserved in heaven for you. A spot in heaven with your name on it, reserved. Isn't that what Jesus promised in John chapter 14? He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Of course, as he said this to his followers, Thomas was there. And Thomas, he gets a bad rap for a lot of things. We read about him a few minutes ago in John chapter 20. But he was good because he asked questions. I love that. It's like there's oftentimes in the Gospels you're reading through and like, I don't understand what Jesus is saying. And apparently neither did the apostles, because they asked questions like, what are you saying? Can you put that in plain language? And then he does so. And I'm really glad they were honest about it. They just asked questions. So Thomas, he felt like he didn't know what Jesus was talking about. And so he asked him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Like, that's nice, this concept, but what are you actually discussing with us? Now, Jesus' response to Thomas was clear. It was concise, and it was not subject to personal interpretation. This is what Jesus said to them in John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." So again, as we're discussing this text, this inheritance, this living hope, all these things that are part of our salvation because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, it's for us, it's for the believer. It's not just in general for people. No, it's for people that have placed their faith in him. Thus, 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm just going to read verses 5 through 9. It begins to explain what else accompanies our living hope and our unfading inheritance. He goes on to say, "This is reserved in heaven for you," verse 5, "who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, the glory that awaits, in this you greatly rejoice." And listen to what he says here in verse 6. This is pretty pertinent to our day and age today. "Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." Anyone experiencing any kind of trials today? I would imagine there are many. And I imagine it's not just many, but various trials. There's so many different varieties of trials. And why would this be? "So that," verse 7, "that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." Isn't that what John said at the end of John's gospel in our scripture reading this morning? That John wrote these things so that we might believe, and those who have believed upon Jesus Christ for salvation, this is the discussion for us. Having not seen, we love. And though we don't see him, yet believing, we rejoice. And then he says in verse 9, "Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So even when things stink, we can get through it. And not just get through it, but we can get through it rejoicing, knowing that we have a space, a spot, a place reserved in heaven for us. It's remarkable. And all of this, if you would notice verses 10 through 12, and this is where we'll finish this part of our time today. We'll visit one more section in John's gospel, but for 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning, notice this was all based on what was promised. "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. As with what Paul would tell his friends in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this gospel, this salvation, as Peter says here, is according to the scriptures. It's not something that was invented on the spot, which of course is kind of funny. Throughout the gospels, Mark 9, for example, we're studying, or we have been studying Mark's gospel on Sunday mornings. And in Mark chapter 9, we find Jesus telling his apostles ahead of time that he was, or what was coming to him, what he would experience. And he said to them in Mark chapter 9, "The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after he is killed, he will rise the third day." Now, the guys usually got off track, and they like kind of grasped onto the him being killed, and they kind of forgot about the resurrection part. But he promised this. In fact, he said it this way, and this is where I wanted to turn. You can turn with me if you'd like. In John chapter 10, John chapter 10, where Jesus knew all of this ahead of time. This was all promised in the scriptures, prophesied ahead of time. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, Jesus says, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again." He predicted this, prophesied this. And then verse 18, he said this so clearly, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from the Father." Wow. Which means what? It means the events of what we call Holy Week are not an accident. And therefore, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is not God the Father like fixing the colossal blunder of the crucifixion. He wasn't in heaven going, "Hey, angels, are you guys seeing this? What is happening?" Jesus wasn't supposed to go to the cross. He was supposed to escape all those things. Oh, man, but I guess I'll blame it on the apostles. They weren't doing such a good job protecting him. So I guess I'll have to, you know, I'll have to fix this. So I'll go ahead and fix this too with a resurrection. No, that's not it at all. All of this was foretold in the Old Testament scriptures. The genuineness of our faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, we can rejoice because the living hope we have. And the living hope we have is based on, or it's through, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And with that comes this inheritance that we have that's reserved in heaven for us. It's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it does not fade away. All these things are available. And even in difficult days, we can rejoice. As of yesterday, the coronavirus pandemic has found its way into 185 countries. This is rough stuff. Now, let's be honest, there have been worse things in history, worse times in history. But this is our time. This is our day. This is our age. This is when we live. This is where we live. This is the here and now before we arrive in the there and then. And it's difficult. And in so many ways, this is dark. But for the one who believes in Jesus Christ, the one who has placed his or her hope in Jesus for salvation, there's a living hope. Again, hope's a delicate thing. And it's dependent upon what's told us and by whom. It's God who's made these promises. So the promises we have are resolute. They're concrete. They're living. The hope we have, colossal. This unfading inheritance, preserved and reserved for us by the God who cannot lie. And we see God at work in our lives, growing our faith, strengthening our faith. Again, here in 1 Peter, watching the genuineness of our faith be tried like gold in the fire. And that's exactly how it works. If you want your faith to grow, it needs to have challenges. If you want your faith to be strengthened, there needs to be some weight placed upon it. If you want your faith to amount to anything, it must first be tried, must first be tested. Because how do you know what you know? You have to have a test. Do I really know this stuff? Do I really believe this stuff? Am I really experiencing this stuff? Someone once said it this way, I'm not a tea drinker, so I don't appreciate this illustration quite as much as tea drinkers probably do, but someone said this, Christians are like bags of tea. You don't know what's on the inside until you apply it to hot water. How's your faith? Great, I guess. And then the trials come, and then the testing comes, and then the difficulties come. The hot water arrives, and how am I doing? Well, actually, I'm doing okay. How's your hope? It's alive. It's living. How? Because Jesus rose from the dead. Well, what does that mean? It means that because he died for my sins, because he was buried, and on the third day he rose again from the grave, according to the scriptures, do you know what I have? I have because he's promised an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away. This is amazing. So how are we doing? Fine. Great. Oh, it's difficulty. Or it's a time of difficulty. It's difficult. I don't enjoy this, but I can rejoice. Hebrews chapter 6 would describe our hope as an anchor for the soul. It keeps us in place, keeps us sure, keeps us secure. It allows us to remain calm, to have assurance, to maintain peace and remain in a place of joy. Again, because of what we have, what is promised to us by God himself, we can rejoice. And can I encourage you, believer, rejoice today. Like, would you read through 1 Peter? And would you read through it? And you'll also discover in 1 Peter, in verse 19, 1 Peter chapter 1, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. It's not that which saves us. But we were redeemed, we were saved, verse 19, verse 18 was the other verse, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And again, this idea, this was all foretold. Verse 20 says, he was indeed foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, you who, verse 21, through him believe in God, God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. That we have this confidence because of him. Rejoice. Believer, even when various trials come along, and in the midst of various trials, different varieties, different types of trials, we rejoice. Now, I have to say this because I've been placing so much attention on the us part, for us as Christians, for us as believers, for us as followers of Jesus Christ. But really, here's the thing. If you are not a believer today, I want to say this pretty clearly here. None of this really applies to you. I thought Easter was good news. Well, it's good news for the believer. Bad news? No, not quite. Let me say it this way. Let me kind of carry out this thought. All of this applies to you, non-believer, if you will receive the gift of the forgiveness of your sins. If you will receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the resurrected Jesus Christ. He who died never to die again. He ascended into heaven and he's coming again. He's never going to die again. I always feel bad for the people in the Bible that were raised from the dead. They died again later. Like, that stinks for them. Great, you know, exciting to see resurrection, but they died. Like, not Jesus. And the promise that we have as Christians, even if we are to die, and when it comes time for us to die, I have a living hope. I have the inheritance in glory reserved for me, awaiting me. So Jesus' resurrection wasn't just like a spiritual one, philosophical kind of a resurrection. No, he rose bodily, literally from the grave, never to die again. So non-believer, all these things are yours if you'd like to have all these things. It's all yours if you place your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, if you'll turn from your sins, if you'll turn to him for salvation. if you will turn to him to receive this overflowing, abundant supply of his merciful grace and his gracious mercy to you. It's all yours. Would you like to have this hope, this living hope? Would you like to know that you have a place in heaven reserved for you, an inheritance in glory, again, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away? Would you like that? It's all yours. You simply need to turn to Jesus in faith, believing what has been declared about him, and receive the salvation of your souls. Lord, we thank you for what this day marks for us, what the resurrection not only, again, is, but what the resurrection has provided. It's this living hope that we have. This hope that is secure, strong. It's not a wavering kind of a hope, or it shouldn't be. It's not a delicate, transient kind of hope. No, it's fixed, it's firm, it's alive. And not only that, we have this inheritance reserved for us because of Jesus, your finished work. And we're so thankful that you are this living Savior, our resurrected Lord, never to see death again, our Savior who died for me, who died for the sins of the world, that took my place, took my sins upon yourself. Thank you, Jesus, for that. You conquered sin, you conquered the grave, you conquered death itself. You're coming again, you're returning. You're going to take us as believers with you to heaven. And because of you and because of your finished work at the cross and the fact of the empty tomb, again, we have a living hope. I'm so grateful for all that you have provided as a gift to be received. We could never earn this. There's no good works that we could ever do to save ourselves to accomplish this. There's this concept of our good deeds outweighing our bad deeds. It's totally false. We're sinners separate from you because of what we are without you. We're sinners lost in need of redemption, in need of being reconciled back to you. And that happens by faith, not by works. So Lord, my prayer would be for anyone that's watching this today, listening to these words, listening to the words of the gospel proclaimed to us from the New Testament and promised in the Old Testament, that today would be the day of salvation. Today would be the day they would turn to you in faith and say, oh, Jesus, I do believe. I turn to you in faith. I turn from my sin. I turn from my old life. I know I've been walking apart from you and further away from you. I know that you are not in my life, but I want you to not just be in my life. I want you to be my life. I want you to be in my heart. I want you to control my mind. Help me to think the right way, act the right way, behave properly. I can't do it on my own. Jesus, would you save me from my sins? Would you grant me this living hope? Would you reconcile me back to God? And would you give me this promise that you have made of eternal life in heaven with you? You are the God who cannot lie, and I believe what you've promised. I believe based on Jesus' death on the cross, his burial, and the reality, again, the historic fact that he rose from the dead. I turn to you in faith. I commit my life to you, Jesus, and I pray all of this in your name. Amen. Man, I really hope that believer, no matter the various trials we have a living hope and we have an inheritance that's reserved for us. I hope that you are able to see the genuineness of your faith being tried and found to be genuine, strengthened by these various trials. And I hope that any of you watching this, listening to this, that really you did exactly what we just walked through. You just prayed to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You just asked him personally to come into your life, to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for you. He already is that, but that he'd be your Lord, your Savior. He would forgive you of your sins. If you've done that today, man, welcome to the family. And now all of these things do apply to you. This is this living hope for us, and you are part of the us. Welcome to the family of God. If you prayed to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to just do one thing today, because this is really all about what we can do. Send the church an email. Send the church an email. It's just office@calvaryozarks.org. office@calvaryozarks.org. It's on the bottom of the webpage. If you didn't catch that, put a note there on Facebook or something. We'll get in touch with you. We'll send you a note. We'll see what we can do to send you some resources to help you grow in your Christian faith. We want to rejoice with you. Tell us your story. If you need help of other variety, if you have any kind of prayer requests, same thing, office@calvaryozarks.org. Send us a note. Let us know how we can pray for you. We want to pray with you. And we want to see practically what can we do to minister to you. If you're in a tough spot because of the events right now of COVID-19, we really want to be a resource and a blessing materially, physically to you if possible. So let us know. We'll see what we can do. We can't make great promises. God's the one who makes the great promises of heaven. But in the here and now, we'd like to see what we can do. Send us a note. Send us an email. We want to see how we can bless you, walk with you, stand with you, while practicing social distancing. So God bless you this Resurrection Day. Rejoice in the salvation that you have. Enjoy it. Look forward to connecting with you again. We'll be doing this live streaming thing through at least the month of April. So that's at least the next couple of Sundays. But we'll look forward to being back together eventually. God bless you. See you later.